This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
We head to Stockholm in Sweden now to catch up with our next guest here on the Kona Edge, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Rasmus Fengesen onto the podcast. Rasmus, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Rasmus, I'm excited to have you on because Kona 2018, you had an absolute monster of a race, finishing first in your age group, just outside the top 30 overall. You must be pretty chuffed with that performance.
Yeah, still can't believe I could pull that off. I just had a perfect day in almost every way, so still can't believe that. I just nailed everything on that actual day. So,
What do you think the secret is to having the perfect day on the Big Island?
Well, that's a hard one. I think maybe one reason to why I performed so well because I was there quite a bit before the race. I went there 3 weeks prior to the event. So I really got acclimatized to the very warm and humid conditions there. It took me a very long time to get adapted to those conditions. So I really felt comfortable in those conditions, and I had run several kind of tests, nutrition-wise, hydration-wise. I had biked the course several times. I knew what to expect. On race day, there were like no surprises. So that's, I think, is one really important factor. I would also say, like, there's also a very important mental factor, because I had an incredible season leading up to the race also. I was undefeated in my age group before the race, and I had surprised myself with several performances that I didn't think I was capable of before. But still, I didn't put much pressure on myself anyway. I was just, I know I can do this, but it's still, I was still just happy to be on Kona because this was my first time racing there, and the big goal for the season for me was to actually qualify for Kona. So I just, could relax and tell myself, no matter how it goes, you've had an amazing season, but now you can just do everything you can and see how it goes, and then I could relax and just perform well, I guess. So
I mean, that's, to me, is amazing. That first time out on the Big Island, it's all good and well. You've been there 3 weeks before, but to have the race that you have on your debut is just incredible. Tell me, let's take a step back and look at your sort of history, sporting history. What's your background? Where you come from sports wise?
Well, actually, I was a cross country skier from the beginning. So like cross country and Nordic skiing. I don't know if the South African population are very familiar with that sport. But it's really a physical demanding sport also. So I did cross country skiing from my youth to my early 20s, and then I stopped for several reasons. I started studying instead. But then I got, in some way, I was really, I missed having like a sport in my life that plays an important part of my life. So then I, for quite some time, I had been thinking about triathlon, or actually Ironman, because I thought that was a really, really cool thing. I like challenging my body in several ways, and that seemed like a really cool way. So I registered to an Ironman. That was my first triathlon event ever. Well, that's a very interesting story, actually. My first Ironman.
Which one did you do first?
I did Ironman Zurich first. It was in 2015, and I hadn't trained very much before, and I also had very bad luck the week leading up to the race. I think a few days before I had a beef tartare, which wasn't good at all. So I got I got food poisoning just like 5-4 days before the race. So when I was on the start line, I told myself, what are I actually doing here? You shouldn't be. I hadn't been eating for 2-3-4 days, any proper meal, but I guess I was just too cheap not to go to the start line, because I paid like 700 euros or so for the registration, and I wasn't very familiar with the registration fees of Ironman back then. So, but actually I finished. I'm still very proud of that. But it wasn't a very, it was a very tough race, and I threw up many times during the race.
That's incredible. as far as the background in cross country and Nordic skiing, were you any good at it? Did you do it at any particular level?
You can say that I was rather good at it. I'm much better in triathlon now than I ever was a cross-country skier, of course, but still I reached maybe like top 20-30 in Sweden, and Sweden is one of the leading nations within cross-country skiing, so I don't know what I would have been like worldwide. Outside top 100 by far.
How much of your success in triathlon would you put down to genes and genetics and being lucky that you were born into the body that you've been born in? Mm. And how much of it to hard work and just really training hard?
That's a really tough question, because I think maybe my the main like genes I've been blessed with, if you can say so, is that I'm willing to put in the hard work for it. So I think that I may have some good genetics for long distance endurance. But on the other hand, I'm not that a natural runner, for instance. Like I'm kind of a big guy. Not that I'm fat or anything, but I'm quite muscular actually for being a triathlete. So I think that my body is rather resilient it can handle a lot of training. I also have a good VO2 max, which of course only partly is genetic. I've been training a lot to improve my VO2 max also. But I think that when people are looking at me, they wouldn't see that, oh, he's like the typical talented triathlete. But maybe I'm talented in other aspects, like I've been rather injury-free so far. So I think maybe I have good genetics for that. Many people, they have some genetics that are good, and I mean they can use that part as the it's not like you don't have, or some people might have like genetics for everything, but most people don't, and then you gotta work with what you have and increase your strength and your weaknesses in the matter that is possible.
Yeah, Rasmus, you also, as much as you're fairly new, because you're still quite young, as much as you're fairly new to the sport of triathlon, you've got a huge base, aerobic base that comes from the skiing. So you might not have done 20 years of hard work in triathlon training, but you've got this massive engine and base that you've built over the years from skiing.
Yeah, Definitely. Especially the engine, because the V2 Max are like, yeah, you can call it the engine. It's maybe the main predictor for performance in the cross country skiing. So, a lot of my training was focused to improve my V2 Max. So of course, that I got with me, taking it into triathlon. And of course, that makes a huge difference. Compared to if I would have just started from scratch.
Mm. I'm interested in, and you joke that you don't know how big Nordic skiing is in South Africa. I can tell you it's not big at all. We get very little snow, only in the high sort of areas. And I think we've probably had two or three people go to the Winter Olympics ever. Winter sport's not big here. Just for interest's sake, from a physical taxing point of view, which is harder, the skiing or Ironman triathlon?
I would say Ironman triathlon is harder, and that's maybe the reason why I like it more than I would like skiing. I think it's a more complex sport. It's like you get the nutrition coming in, and there are a lot of races taking place in warm conditions, humid conditions. So you need to take that into account. It's a longer day. Cross-country skiing, of course, there are a lot of technical aspects to cross-country skiing, but basically it's pretty much like you need a high VO2 and some decent strength and so on. But of course, it's very complex as well, and it's really, really hard to become a great cross-country skier. But I think that it's even more challenging, maybe you need to think more. You need to be like intellectual aware of what you're doing all the time and how you plan your races, how you execute your races. And then there's also a lot of interesting training data, that you can analyze and put into racing. All those kind of things, I thrive on that. I would say it's more challenging for sure, in every way, that's a good thing, I would say. Also.
I've never been to Sweden or to Scandinavia, but if I think of Sweden, I think of long, cold winter nights, lots of snow. I don't think triathlon as a sport, but there's this, not just in Sweden, but I think in the whole of Scandinavia, there's a really big sort of explosion in the sport. There's lots of Ironman races, both full and 70.3 distance. Then you get races like the Norseman in Norway. Why is triathlon growing like it is where you are?
That's a tough question. I think like in Sweden and maybe even more in Norway, it's really like active population, especially in Norway, it's a really active population. And maybe I think in Sweden there are a lot of like people who do triathlon. They're like most of them are like high achievers in business life and other careers. And then there's maybe a bit of a that's like they need a challenge in their private life as well, and then triathlon and Ironman may serve as like the greatest challenge for people to take on in their for physical challenges. So that might be a question, might be a factor, but I don't know. Or maybe it's just because it's very fun and people find it that triathlon is extremely fun, and you get to do three sports, which is much greater than to do just one, I think also. So I hope it is that people just think it's really fun and likes to challenge themselves.
Tell me a little bit about life outside of triathlon for you. What do you do outside of the sport?
So I'm in medical school. I studied medicine my fifth year. So now I have like 1.5 semesters to go until my until I earn my degree. Otherwise, there's mainly training outside my studies. It's been harder and harder to, because the triathlon has become a more and more important part of my life. So I've been prioritizing triathlon more and more for the last days, one and a half years. So we'll see what happens then. But as you say, I consider myself to be still quite young. I'm 26, so I want to see how well I can do in this sport on a professional level as well.
I was going to ask, what's next? Yeah. You're 26 years old. You've done an 8:30 and some change in Kona. You've won your age group. For lots of age groupers to get on the podium in Kona is this lifelong dream. You've achieved what most people want to do in the sport. What's left for you?
Yeah, it's the pro field is left for me for sure. I would very much, because I got the qualification as I won my age group. So that would have been really great to come back to Kona, because it's been an amazing place, and everyone who hasn't been there, it's worth all the hard work just to get there and enjoy the place. So, but still, I need a new challenge, and then it's the pro field. So I will be forfeiting my my qualification for the 2019 World Championship and be competing the as a pro next year. So we'll see how it goes, but I will definitely give it 3-5 years at least, and if it goes well, hopefully 10-15 years, because now that's all I want to do, and this is what gives me most joy in my life right now.
Brilliant. Rasmus, you mentioned the tracking the VO2 max, and then you were also talking about all the data that you pull out. I'm guessing that you're pretty analytical. What are some of the things that you track and numbers that you, not necessarily the actual numbers, but what are some of the metrics that you track during a season to see how you're improving and how you can improve?
Mainly I think it's most interesting to look at those simple things. Running, it's speed, basically, how fast I'm running in my, on my long runs and, on my, like, the track intervals, if I'm getting faster and faster, and on the bike, the power, of course. I think that's my favorite training metrics, because, it's so standardized to me, to measure intensity, in kind of power. I regularly do like 20 minutes all out tests on my trainer. Now I've been doing like all my bike training on the turbo trainer this year. So and the swim is also rather standardized. You swim in either a 50 meter or a 25 meter pool, and you can perform regular tests, and you notice rather quickly if you improve or actually deteriorate, or if you reach a plateau. So I guess those metrics are kind of good, because in cross-country skiing, for instance, they're like the conditions when you ski, how the snow is and everything, you cannot rely on times that much, and there's no such things as power meters, so you actually don't really know how you're progressing. In triathlon, it's really easy to measure, am I really progressing now? And if you like stop progressing for a few weeks or a month, then you need to start asking yourself, okay, what do I need to do now so I can get past this plateau? So that I think is a really nice part of triathlon. And it's also really nice that some of the pros share their training data, so you can actually go and chase their numbers on the bike, for instance. So that's a great motivation for me to try and hit the numbers that the best pros are. You know where to aim. That's really nice and cool.
As far as coaching, are you doing this on your own, or have you got someone that's helping you? Have you got a coach that you work with?
Right now I'm actually coaching myself, but I'm I really like discussing training and training physiology. So I have a couple of advisors that I regularly discuss my training with. That's really fun and they have really good input also to give me. But last season I was working with a guy in Brazil, Fabio Carvalho. He's been a pro racing in Kona before, and he planned my training. But now it was really hard because I went back to school and it's you need to adapt your sessions for my school schedule. So it was really hard for someone to just put up a plan and then for me to follow it. But I take a lot of things that I've learned from the time with him into my training now. But I also think it's very fun to plan my own training and be responsible for my own training. So.
Looking at the amount of time you train, obviously being a student, people, I know what it was like when I was a student. There wasn't much studying going on, but there wasn't much triathlon going on either, that's for sure. But it's not like you're breezing through an easy degree. You're studying medicine. There's a heavy workload there. How many hours a week in peak training are you training for a race like Kona or for a goal Ironman race?
My peak, so before Kona, then it was summer holiday, so then I could do pretty much as much tennis as I would or as I wanted to. So maybe the few months leading up to Kona, I averaged maybe 18 to 20 hours a week. Now I've been focusing a little bit more on high intensity, and I'm also back to school, so maybe it's now. On the easiest weeks, maybe 12, 13 hours and 18, 19 hours on the heaviest week, but mainly around the 15 to 17 hours, I would say. But then there's a lot of intensity in those hours. So I think I wouldn't go much harder or much more even if I had unlimited time for training, because I think that the quality training, high intensity training is so important, especially at this part of the season. So I would prioritize that anyway.
If you had to go back and start over, is there anything that you would do differently knowing what you know now? There's always things to learn in the sport of triathlon, but would you change anything?
Well, that's a good question. Maybe. I think I did most of the things pretty well last year, and the results say that as well. but maybe I would have been focusing a little bit more on the volume actually, and maybe reducing the high intensity training a little bit, especially when the season approaches. Because the coach I was working with, he just put on a lot of volume, and I responded very well to that at that time. But I also think that the reason to why I responded very well to that is because I had a really good engine to start with. So I had the right engine to build volume from. So I think it wouldn't have been that successful if I hadn't done all that high intensity work prior to the volume. So for this season, I have a similar approach to my training. But I would have done anything differently. No, I think, yeah.
When you're winning, there isn't too much to change, is there?
No. I can't come up with anything right now, but I'm sure, of course, there's plenty, I'm sure, that I could have done differently.
Before we wrap up, let's touch on Kona as a place. It's vastly different to where you live. It's vastly different to where I live. What makes the island so special, and what makes that race in particular so special?
Everything, I would say. Race-wise, it's definitely the heat and humidity. And maybe the humidity is the worst, because I mean, you're used to even, I raced in South Africa last year, and it was, that was kind of hot as well. But still, the humidity isn't that high. So the sweat can feel like vaporize from your body, and then you cool down. So I usually sweat a lot, but you actually get a lot of cooling effects from sweating a lot when the humidity is quite low. In Kona, everything just drains from your body. It's not vaporizing, and then it's not like cooling down. You're not cooling down by sweat dripping from your body. The strategy on the run, especially on Kona, was to like get to the next aid station and then like put your head in a ice bath, so you get enough cold to get to the another aid station and then just do it all over again. So I guess the humidity is there and the heat there. And when I got there the first week, I was like, it shouldn't be possible to do an Ironman in these conditions. The first day I went out on the clean day, I was out for like 1 to 2 hours. I was completely exhausted when I got home. And I was like, if not, I'm gonna be satisfied even if I finish this race. but then you acclimatize rather quickly and you start to feel better. But those conditions are really tough. And then, the place is, it's really nice, and you really feel that this is the world championship. All the pros are there, and I think it was even more special than I had thought.
Well, Rasmus, I'd be remiss not to ask this. The week that we're publishing this episode, it's Ironman South Africa coming up this weekend, actually. So your experience in Nelson Mandela Bay last year at the 70.3 World Championships, what do you think of Port Elizabeth? What do you think of South Africa?
I love South Africa. I wasn't there for the 70.3 Worlds. I was racing the African Championship.
Oh, it was the full last year. Sorry, my apologies.
No problem. I love it. I had like we had the best time there. I only have super great memories from South Africa. We stayed at the lodge, and there were other people competing in the Ironman, and we became all very good friends, and we still keep in touch from different nationalities. And I had my first age group win in South Africa. And I think some kind of mental barrier just let go after that race. It definitely has a very special place in my heart. And I'm planning on going back to South Africa next year. Now after this year, my wallet is a bit light. So that's the main reason why I'm not racing this year. It's an expensive trip to go, but, and I think also the bike course is spectacular, extremely beautiful, and I think all the people were also very, very friendly, and the nature is incredible.
Yeah, the crowd support on that run course is phenomenal as well.
Yeah, very, 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 very well. So I've been racing in Ironman Sweden, I think I've been doing like 5, 6 different Ironman races in the world, and Ironman Sweden is really famous for having a very, very good crowd. But I think the South African crowd is just as good. I must say.
Yeah, I love that race. It's obviously it's my home race, and I'm extremely proud of it. But there's just something about racing in Nelson Mandela Bay. And then just finally to wrap this chat up, Rasmus, you've said it a couple of times now. The mental part of winning your age group and then going into Kona being unbeaten and going, you know what, I could win my age group. Tell me a little bit, dig into that a little bit more. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, that's something I didn't think much about before this season. But then I think something happened in South Africa. I won my age group there, and I really fought very, very hard for that victory. There was a really, really great Swiss runner coming from behind, and he just got closer and closer as the run went by, and my brother was with me supporting, and was just screaming, you need to take this. So I gave everything I had for my first win there. And then, I think I started to believe in myself in a different way. And then, a very interesting, mental aspect also, I think, was, a few months later, I raced the 70.3, and, it's rather weird, but I never considered myself to be a quite good runner, as I thought I'm too big, I'm weighing too much. But in that race, I managed to pull off a 1:14 half marathon split. And I thought that I would never be able, even if I trained like, how much that, let's give me like 5 years, I wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't be capable of doing a 1:14 marathon, half marathon split. And then I started to realize that maybe I can actually become pretty good at this, this sport. And now I've been taking that mental thing. And also, of course, like being in my age group in Kona, I haven't even thought about that being possible as well. But now I think I'm going into this season now, and in my training, I believe in myself in a very different way than I did before, and I think that's even more important than you might think from the beginning.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And if you look at any sport, not just triathlon, you look at the guys at the top of their game. Physically, they're all pretty much the same. Golfers are good examples. What separates the good from the best is their mental game, and having their mental game and the confidence and the belief that they can that they can win.
Yeah, for sure. And also that in your training, you also strive for a different level. So now on the bike, for instance, I'm really trying to like chase one of my favorite pro athletes that I'm following, Lionel Saunders. His insane wattage number. Like for 2 years ago, I was just, oh, it shouldn't be possible to push this amount of power on the bike. And now I'm not there yet, but I'm not that far from him on several intervals. And that's because I've been aiming for that level. And I have been believing myself, there's no reason for it why I wouldn't be able to get that level also. So you shouldn't think that there are any limits. Even if you say that, you're not talented enough or you don't have the genetics for it. But, most people can definitely, be much better than they think they are, or they think that they can become. So, you shouldn't set any barriers, for yourself.
I think that is such a great place to end this chat. I look forward to talking about your individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Great. Thanks for having me.
If you've enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.